Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, had any big dreams lately? Maybe a lot of dreams, but what are the big ones? What are dreams worth that can save our lives? Maybe we can all be helped by our dreams in ways that some of us haven't even imagined. So to get more serious about these big dreams, we're going to talk to the author of a book called Dreams That Can Save Your Life. That's fantastic. And she's the co-author with Larry Burke, and her name is Kathleen O'Keefe Canavos. And is Kat a good, or is it Kathy?
Kat. All my friends Kat. Call me Kat.
Oh, yes. I hope to be your friend. good. Thank you. And in your life was saved by a dream, and that's one of the reasons you're so involved in this, right?
Yes, yes. Dr. Larry Burke and I hadn't met until I had finished my first book, Surviving Cancer Land, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, and that was about how my dreams diagnosed my breast cancer, and then I went to the medical community and had these dreams validated by pathology reports. So he found my book online, and then he collected 20 women whose dreams diagnosed their breast cancer, and then that breast cancer was validated by the medical community with pathology reports, and he started doing a study on them, and that was the breast cancer dream research study that he did, and I was one of his study patients.
And since then, I'm sure that a lot of other women with precognitive dreams have stepped forward.
Oh, yes. They, you know, once we had the basic backbone of the book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, we put out to the universe, basically, that we were looking for more breast cancer stories. And then, you know, Larry said, well, I asked Larry, what are you going to do with all of this information that you've got? You've written it up in medical journals, but how are we going to get this information out to the populace? And he said, well, I don't know. Do you have an idea? And I said, yeah, let's write a book. So long story short, we wrote a book, and our agent sent out the book proposal. We got into a bidding war, and within a month, we had a signed contract that was great. Four months later, we had to send in the manuscript, and 5 months later, the book was on the market in Barnes & Noble and everywhere.
I think that's because it's so needed.
Yes, I agree. It is so needed. And then the universe just started sending us people. Some of them, you know, are men, and they did not have breast cancer, but we had a lot of breast cancers. We had a lot of other illnesses, so we actually had to change the title of the book from just Breast Cancer Research Dreams to Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, because we started getting all these other diseases like diabetes, cystic fibrosis, they were all coming in.
Okay, this is wonderful to know that our dreams can really support us this way. Mm-hmm. But let's understand what dreaming is. Who are we to even have dreams, that our lives need to work through our dreams on those different levels of consciousness? Mm-hmm. That, why do we need that? Why can't we know that anyway?
I think our dreams are sacred doorways to the divine. I really believe that. And our dreams are the way we can connect with the information on the other side, that information that we knew before we were born and then went through that forgetting. Because if we didn't forget, Peter, I really think we'd all be jumping off of bridges to get back sooner. I mean, it's hard. The earth plane is hard. This is a very difficult place to be, to exist. And so we're all born with dreams. It's an innate gift. And we are taught that dreams aren't really important because you can't see, feel, and touch them. So they're not really important, and they're just like a playground for our mind at night. And that's true. That is true. But there are certain dreams, precognitive dreams, diagnostic dreams, lucid dreams that can be a call to action when we have a problem or a crisis going on in our life. And it's those dreams that make the difference.
And I think what you said is really profound, that we do need that veil that allows us to simplify our lives so we're not inundated by the past and the struggles of other lifetimes or whatever. And who are we in that consciousness, that multidimensional consciousness, to have the kinds of dreams we have that break through that veil? Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's quite magical that we've been created somehow in some form that allows us to have it both ways.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And our dreams are the way our, I call it our ET, our eternal teacher, that part of us that has been with us from one lifetime to another, that ET, inner ET, it's the way our inner ET phones home. Through dreams, they phone to the other side and say, look, we've got a crisis going on here. We need information. And a lot of times what happens when we are in crisis is our loved ones, our deceased loved ones, get permission to come back from the other side in our dreams and give us information. And I call that area where we go from our dream that we're having into another level or another depth of dream or another realm of dream. I call that the room between realms, and our deceased loved ones come into there and share information that can save our lives.
And those are the big dreams.
Those are the big dreams, the ones you can't forget. They keep happening over and over and over again. It's like Groundhog Day in the dream world. You can't forget those dreams, and they won't allow you to forget them. You have them during the day in daydreams. You have them over and over and over again until you get the message. That's why it's recurring. You didn't get the message, so you keep getting it.
But one thing is not to worry that we'll not remember the big dreams that can save our lives, because they won't hold back. They'll keep knocking us on the head and saying, remember this.
Yes, exactly. And they'll give you, if you can't figure out the dream the way it's given to you the first time, your spirit guides, guardian angels, inner self, ET that I was talking about, will give you another dream with the same message, but a different way. You know, rather than using symbolism, maybe you'll have somebody come up and actually talk to you, which is what happened in many of the dreamers in this book. Somebody actually came up to them and said, you have breast cancer. Or they heard just a voice as they were waking up from a dream. You have breast cancer. And that's what is so amazing. There's so many different ways we can get the same message.
But that's so important, to understand how the universe works by engineering ways to communicate with us that we can't even imagine that they're so clever at.
Yes, and they are very clever. I think that they're so used to being ignored because as we get older, we learn not to believe in dreams, to put them in the toy box with the rest of our toys because now we're adults. But the truth of the matter is we are all born with spirit guides, guardian angels. We're their job, and they take that job very seriously. So when we're in crisis, they come into our dreams and guide us.
Well, when you said now that we're adults, you really mean now that we've been programmed, conditioned to be limited.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you said that. That's exactly right.
Right. And so what we really need to do is understand that what you're teaching us is not only a doorway to dreams, but a doorway to the true multidimensional nature of life.
Yes, exactly. We are so much more than just body. We're mind, body, and spirit. And when we're in crisis, all three of those, id, ego, super ego, that trinity comes into play. And so we have our dreams, we have our daydreams, and we have our physical symptoms. They all work together to tell us the same thing. But what was amazing about all of these dreams, Peter, is people had these dreams way before they were symptomatic. Everybody was asymptomatic, no symptoms, and they had to go and argue with their doctors to get the tests they needed. And that was different.
Yeah, that what you're saying is something that you want to wake up people to do, is to really be a champion for themselves beyond the limitations of the medical community.
Yes. And you know, it's the stories in the book are somewhat frightening, in that you're reading people's nightmares, and these are nightmares that came true. But the positive point of this book is every single story except one had a happy ending. And that one story that did not have a happy ending was a woman. She was actually a doctor also, went to her doctors and said, look, you know, I'm having these dreams that I have breast cancer and I really need a second set of tests. And that doctor said, look, you've already had your first test. You're healthy. Go home. Come back in 6 months. And she did as her doctor said. Oh. And when she came back 6 months later, it was too late. She's the only one out of all of these 41 stories. There are 41 stories in here of people who had dreams that diagnosed their illness, and they lived. They all lived.
But that's something that's also very complicated, is once you find out about this and the doctor agrees that your dreams are correct, you still have to decide on the course of action, and you still have to be open to be healed. And fortunately, you know Bernie Siegel.
Mm-hmm. He wrote the foreword to the book in the children's chapter.
I know that, and he's been on my show a number of times. And he does work, deep work with the subconscious, using art actually, to let people make drawings of their condition. And then from the drawings, he can see what hope there is for them to win or not. Because there are a lot of people who, once they're diagnosed, they just, you know, fall off a cliff because they can't handle the diagnosis.
Yeah, it frightens them so badly. And believe me, there's nothing more frightening than having a dream that you have recurrence. And know that the dream diagnosed your first cancer, so it's probably not wrong, and then having to go back and convince your doctors to do tests again. But this is what I say to people who have dreams that diagnose their illness. If you were meant to die, your dreams would not have told you about this. So if your if your dreams are in there telling you this, and your spirit guides are coming in and telling you this, you're not supposed to die. Go to work and get yourself diagnosed and get the treatments that you want. And you know, another thing that was really important in this book, Peter, is there was only one story where when the patient was diagnosed finally from their dreams that they had lung cancer, they're the only ones that chose not to do conventional cancer treatment, and they healed themselves. But all the other stories in this book did not go, oh, I'm going to go find Swami Wami Rama Lama Ding Dong. No, they went back to their doctors because that's what the dreams told them. Go back to your doctors.
You have to follow.
They worked with them.
Right, but you have to follow your own heart in this. I just had a call yesterday from a client from a long time ago who had brain cancer, and he had a big tumor removed from his brain, and they told him maybe he'll survive six more months or a year because this is a terrible kind of cancer. And everybody was sure that they were saying goodbye to him. And he came to see me, and I looked at him. I said, you want to live, and you're going to live. And he said, yes, for sure. And now years later, he's still doing great. He didn't do chemo or radiation. And he said that I was the only one who believed that he was going to survive, and he lived on that. And
wonderful,
he made that happen. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing a documentary about him.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. Now, did he have a dream that told him?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just saying that because of how people approach their treatment.
Right.
And where that inner knowing comes from, that you have to go this way or that way.
Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, figure out what's right for you and then do it. Don't worry about anybody else. This is your journey and nobody else can walk your path. So you figure it out and you walk your path and stay on that path and be really strong about it when somebody tries to yank you off. One of the other things that stands out in this book is how after these dreamers were diagnosed, when they had a diagnostic dream, they had continuing dreams to help them get through their treatments. Some of them were told to change their diets. I was told to use ghee rather than butter. Oh, wow. Use ghee, that ghee would be really healthy, and kombucha tea. So once you connect with that dream realm that tells you have an illness so that you will do something about it and live, those dreams, those precognitive dreams, those diagnostic dreams, those special loving dreams will help you get through your treatment, and they'll give you suggestions on being successful.
Well, let me tell you where one time with me, I didn't appreciate what I was being given. I was going for a run in Central Park, and I ran over. It's about almost a mile to Central Park from my house, and I got there, and I was about to step on the park road, and I heard, "Stop, don't do that." And it was like, what? It was the first time any voice had shouted at me. And it was like, I know, but I book out this time. I need the workout, so I'm going to go for this run. And then I stepped again, and I heard again, "Stop, don't do that." And I stepped back and I said, "Well, you're really insistent, but I'm going to argue with you about it. I'm going to go for my run." And I went for my run, and 4 miles later, I came down with a stress fracture.
Oh, goodness. So, you know, it sounds to me you're a bit like me. I think my guardian angels, spirit guides in the morning, have to draw straws. Okay, you're dealing with her today.
Yeah, right.
That is a great story. I mean, I would love to have that kind of story in my second book that I'm writing with Dr. Larry Burke, because the publisher sees this as a series of stories. So, you know, for your audience listening now, if you had that is a waking dream or audio, we have other people who have had those as well. People who don't remember their sleeping dreams can have almost like a daydream, because you're kind of daydreaming about going for the run and you're standing there and then boom, you have this voice. So those are the type of dreams or stories we want in the second book. So please send them to me at catcan@comcast.net.
Oh, good. And this voice has become more familiar, and but it doesn't always save my life or prevent a stress fracture. Sometimes it just helps me meet up with people who I'm supposed to meet in a certain place, and they're not there. And this voice says, "No, you're not going here. You're going there." I'm like, "Why am I going there? I'm supposed to meet these people here." And I didn't know that they were going to be there instead of here. So the voice says, "No, we're going to," and I said, "No, you're not. This is where I'm supposed to meet. I'm here." And they said, "No, we go there." And I would argue, and finally I'd go there and my friends would be there instead of here.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you tune into your spirit guides, guardian angels, whatever that voice is, makes life a whole lot easier and successful.
One time years ago, when my kids were little, my youngest son, I guess he was about 6, and we were up in Vermont, ready to drive home from a weekend, and I got in. I was loading the back of the van, and all of a sudden, I could smell blood, and I could feel blood, and I could say, "Oh my God, there's blood," and we have to drive, you know, a couple hundred miles now, and I don't know. I'm going to have to be really careful because I've been shown blood. And so we were driving home and we stopped at Mount Bromley that had this, in the summer, it had this slide down the mountain in these cement chutes. And you get into a sled and you slide down. I said, "Well, let's do that on the way home." I wasn't thinking, because I knew I had to drive extra carefully. But this was different. And so we went up to the top of the mountain, and I had a sled, and I had my son on my lap because he was too young to go on his own sled. And we're both cowboys, so we were driving the sled, you know, riding down the mountain too fast and had an accident, and we spilled out of the trough into the woods. And oh my God, we were rolling through, you know, the rough, and my son started screaming. So I ran over to him. Oh my God. And he was fine. He just had a few little scrapes. And then I looked at my arm and you could see the bone.
Oh my goodness.
It wasn't broken, but it was cut clear through to the bone. And what's interesting, I was able to get back in the sled and get down the rest of the mountain without any blood coming out. As soon as I got to the base, the blood started spurting out. That's unusual.
Yes, it is.
And then I had to
be... Your guides turned to put a tourniquet on there and you just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you did it again.
And then I had to be rushed to the emergency medical. And but that was the blood.
Yes. Yeah, that's another great story. I want that one too.
Thank you. And, you know, it's fascinating when you start learning how much support we have in the universe.
Mm-hmm. And we do.
And how there, and I live with that every day, knowing that everything is in place. Mm-hmm. Not just our lives and our well-being, but that there's serendipity and synchronicity in life. Mm-hmm. And we can just let go and listen.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Just listen and watch. And, you know, and watching is so important. Even if you are a dreamer and you have a certain dream, you may have signs and symbols in that dream that you need to watch during your waking world, because that's how you're bringing the dream and the information into the waking world. And so if you see in your dream a woman walking around in a purple dress, and then there's a car accident in your waking world, if you suddenly see that same woman in the purple dress, get off the road.
It's interesting, because one time I was biking through Central Park and there was a bad accident. A biker was on the side of the road and there was an ambulance there. And I drove by and I somehow knew there was something about this that I needed to take note of, but at the same time I didn't. You know, it was like, because I remember it so clearly, it really was embedded in my brain. And then about an hour later, I had a terrible bike accident, and I broke a few bones, and it was a disaster, and I'm still disabled somewhat from it. And yet that was the precognition. And, you know, so I've learned, and I think we should all be this way, is to watch what we're being shown and just say, do I have to take note of that and maybe do something about it? Know, ride more carefully for the next future.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We need to be, you know, we need to be really aware. I think you said it, you hit it right on the head. Be aware of what you're dreaming and how you're pulling it into your waking world. Or if you're seeing something, how is that important to your health or your life or your relationships?
Yes, exactly. It's, we have to learn to live on these subtle levels. But then again, when I try to teach that to people, they say, oh, you just put a lot of pressure on me that I have to be so much more aware of what I need to be afraid of.
Well, I always tell people when they've said that to me too, the biggest fear that we have is the fear of fear itself. So if you get over that fear and actually embrace the angel of death, because the angel of death is coming for all of us. You cannot run away from the angel of death. You know, if you just embrace the angel of death as a friend who's going to come for all of us, that fear is gone. Because you're going back to where you were before you were born. And trust me when I say you liked it better.
Oh, true. The other side is our home. We just don't know it. Mm-hmm. And, we do our best here. But there's a whole philosophy around why we come here. And it has to do with suffering. And so we can find a better light and create a more brilliant universe that way.
I believe that we come back because we have a life purpose. Even if our parents told us we happened in the back seat of that old Ford, we happened on purpose.
Right.
We have a purpose and we have to fulfill it. Our spirit guides are here to help us. Like I know now that mine is to bring to consciousness a bridge between dreams and the waking world and how we can combine them both for a better life.
I love that. You know, it's so important, the work you're doing. And
thank you.
On so many levels. And you represent it on many levels. You're not just intellectual. You really are a spiritual presence who lives a very spiritual life, multidimensionally.
Thank you. Yes. I never really thought of that before. Just trudging along on my work there. But yes, you know, and what's a little bit different about me and about the book that I wrote with Dr. Larry Burke also is we're not just telling you what we've learned in other books. We are sharing with you true stories that are validated. And that's one of the things that was so impressive to Dr. Oz when I was on his show. He had my medical reports in his hand. He had called my doctors and he said, if I hadn't spoken with them, if I didn't have these reports in my hand, I wouldn't believe this.
Right. But one thing that we haven't had any time to do is to talk about how fascinating so many of these particular dreams are. Your book is filled with dream stories.
Mm-hmm. Dream stories.
And I think it's wonderful for people to really appreciate how these dreams show up and what people do with them. And that's so much of your book is, you know, it's really interesting to see what people experience, what people have experienced this way. Mm-hmm. And so we are getting to the end of the show.
I know it went so fast, didn't it?
Yeah.
One of the other things that's so fascinating, I mean, and Dr. Larry Burke and I kind of put this book together quickly, is at the end of every single one of these fascinating dream stories, he comes in and gives his commentary from a medical point of view, and I come in and give my commentary or dream interpretation from the guinea pigs. So we've got the doctor and the guinea pig writing the book together.
Well, yeah, but you're a real veteran at this point. And so the book is Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. And you are Kathleen O'Keefe Canavos.
Yes.
He's Larry Burke. And is there a website?
Yes, you can go to my website, which is KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, or you can go to thequeenofdreams.com, and then LarryBurke.com also. You can get to all of our websites that way. And for your audience today, there's a free gift for you on my website. If you buy a book and save your receipt, just go to the website. They'll tell you exactly what to do with it, and you'll get my 101 video dream course.
Great. That's wonderful. Kat, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so great talking with you.
Thank you, Peter. It's been wonderful.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening. Thank you.